Notice something different in church. Everything is covered. Why? Why do we have the crosses and images covered on this fifth Sunday of Lent? It is an ancient tradition, the veiling of the crosses and the images. Some churches do it from the beginning of Lent, so 40 days where we have all covered. Other churches, like Emmanuel, used to do it more towards Maundy Thursday, just before Good Friday. I've decided to do them on this, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Fifth Sunday of Lent indicates what is called the beginning of Passion Tide. It's the last 2 weeks of Lent. If you remember, last week we had some flowers in the altar. And it was a sign that we were midway through the season of Lent. And today, this fifth Sunday of Lent, it is like a more intense moment. 2 weeks to go. 2 weeks for Holy Week. And during these 2 weeks, we'll be focusing more and more on the terrible life of Jesus, the end of his life, his execution, his passion, betrayal, treason, and ultimately his death on the cross. We are heading to that. We're heading to this awful situation where Jesus is given up, betrayed, and killed in the most awful way, nailed to a cross. And since early on, his disciples were trying to make sense of why. Why, Jesus? Why did you have to die? Why? Many attempts have been made to try to explain it. And there's a strange theory of substitutionary atonement. And for many of us today, it's an explanation that makes us squirm. God was so angry at us that he needed the blood of someone, and needed the blood of his son. Others say only blood could forgive sins. These are many of possible explanations, and we have to understand it was Christians trying to make sense of something that was senseless for them. They were trying to attempt to make understanding of something that was so appalling to them. For John, in his gospel, there's no idea of substitutionary atonement or forgiveness of sin. John makes sense of Christ's death by saying, the cross is for judgment of this world. And I think I would like to invite you, especially if you feel uncomfortable with the death of Christ, to look at this way of John, the Gospel of John, trying to understand, trying to come to terms on the meaning of Christ's death. And he says, the cross is for judgment of this world. Now, world here does not mean the created world, the natural world. For John, the world is really the system, the realm of domination, power, corruption, violence, and death. We could call it the system. For John, the cross is a judgment of the system. For John, the cross of Christ shines a bright light on the cruelty and the evil of the system, so that everyone might see it plainly. We might understand this a little bit more looking at the life, for example, of nonviolent activists, Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi. They understood very well that the system would not allow them to make the changes for freedom that they both attempted in their lives. And they knew that nonviolent resistance was the way to shine a light on the evil of the system. In times of Martin Luther King Jr., the discipline among those who committed to nonviolent struggle were very clear. We cannot strike back. If they come at you, you resist. You do not resist violently, you just allow yourself even to be clubbed, to be bitten by dogs, to be sprayed with hoses. You do not strike back. For many people, this is crazy. But Martin Luther King and Gandhi in India understood, yes, this is the only way in which the system will be judged. This is the only way in which the evil of this system will be shown forth with clarity. Because the system will use anything to condemn those who attempt to work for justice and peace and compassion. They will take any little thing to make sure that it is discredited and thrown off. For that reason, Martin Luther King and Gandhi knew that it was so important to act nonviolently in order that the system would be shown in its true nature. On the other hand, the system, the world, what John calls, holds on to what we call the myth of redemptive violence. The system understands that the only way out is through violence. For example, you remember the high priest Caiaphas. What did he say? It is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed. In the logic of the system, violence and death, corruption, are an excuse in order to attain their goals. For Jesus, it was the other way around. For Jesus, he said, I am willing to stand up for truth, even if that truth brings the end to my life. Jesus' rejection of violence put him in direct confrontation with the system. Jesus' rejection of acting not out of compassion or love put him in direct confrontation with the system. The system could not hold that idea. They had to kill, silence, eliminate. In that sense, the cross is a judgment of the world, as John says. And we can understand in that way, in this context, the paradoxical statement that we just heard in verses 24 and 25 in today's chapter 12 of John. We heard, and I'll say it again, I assure you, said Jesus, that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. It seems that a farmer hates the seed. If you did not understand how farming works, you would see a farmer putting a seed inside the earth and say, my God, what are you doing? You're throwing away the seed. You're killing it. But a farmer really understands that the only way for a seed to be what a seed truly is to be buried in the ground. It is the only way for the seed to produce the grain. Only dying we gain life. That if we love, we lose it. And if we hate it, we gain it. Now remember when Jesus says, hate your life, he's not talking about hating our life. Jesus was not a life hater. On the contrary, he loved dinner parties. He loved eating. He loved drinking. He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard 2 times. He was also tempted to ask God, his Father, to say, save me from this hour. Jesus was not a masochist. Jesus did not hate his life in the common sense of the word. He hated his life because in the face of what other people, his disciples, said, you're crazy. Why are you going to Jerusalem? Stop it. But he understood that in order to reveal what the system was, in order to uncover the evil of this world, he had to go there. Not because he liked it, not because he wanted to die, but he knew that the only way was to come forward and allow himself to to be executed in order to the light of truth to shine on the evil of this system. There's another translation that I like. It's a paraphrase called the Passion Bible. And these two verses are translated this way. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. These are words that are not easy to live by. These are words of people we've known in our lives and in our history that were willing to live in this difficult paradox. To give up, to detach from one life, even at the risk of losing it, was the only way to truly, truly live. Malcolm Geet, who came, he's an Anglican priest, wrote a beautiful sonnet on the Stations of the Cross and about the meaning of Jesus nailed to the cross. And I would like to end the sermon by reading his sonnet. See, as they stripped the robe off from his back and spread his arms and nailed them to the cross, the dark nails pierce him and the sky turns black. And love is firmly fastened unto loss. But here, a pure change happens. On this tree, loss becomes gain. Death opens into birth. Here, wounding heals and fastening makes free. Earth breathes in heaven. Heaven roots in earth. And here we see the length, the breadth, the height, where love and hatred meet, and love stays true. Where sin meets grace and darkness turns into light. We see what love can bear and be and do. And here our Savior calls us to his side. His love is free. His arms open wide.